Hi, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today, I'm joined by semi-occasional host Matt Veloso.
Hello.
And today, our special guest is Paul. Paul, what's your last name?
Yuknovich.
Yuknovich. Oh, it's so easy.
About it sometimes,
so easy.
Yeah.
Paul, what are you going to talk to us about today?
So we're going to talk about Azure SDK 2.5 and the new Azure SDK tools. They're also in Visual Studio.
Fantastic.
Kind of a theme of top 10 things that I want everyone to know.
Awesome. So. Great. Well, we're excited about that.
Right.
Before we dive into your stuff, we're going to go over a little bit of news. Last week was actually a pretty big week for a lot of us here at Microsoft. Probably the biggest thing was the open sourcing of the .NET Core runtime and library. So now if you go to github.com/.net, I think, you can see the whole .NET language. And part of that's open for community contributions, and part of that isn't, but it's all there for people to look at. And we've already accepted some pull requests.
That's
so
impressive. Yeah, are you already getting some?
Yeah, like I think it was like within an hour somebody had a pull request in. Like it was crazy.
Yeah.
So that's really cool news. And that, of course, comes with the .NET Core framework. We're going to get that to run on Linux and OS X. So there's been years of effort around that, around Mono, and we're kind of officially saying we're going to make this work, which is really great to see. And then the other bit of really great, amazing news is the Visual Studio Community Edition, which is a new SKU of Visual Studio that is basically, you know, it's not completely free to anyone. Like there's certain, you know, enterprise requirements if you have X many developers in your company, but essentially if, you know, you're a developer and you need Visual Studio, it's within your grasp and it's free now, which is pretty amazing and cool
stuff. It's the real deal. It's the real Visual Studio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not like a, you know, some little neutered version that doesn't let you build things or anything like that. Like it's real.
That's right.
So, you know, great news for everybody that's a .NET developer and everybody that might be or one day will be. So we'll go ahead and get switched over for our main presentation. All right, Paul, why don't we see what you got?
Okay, so the first thing I want to show you, what I'm going to show you in general are top 10 things. I'll show you 5 things for Visual Studio, 5 things that you get just with the SDK in any version of Visual Studio.
Okay.
First thing I'll show you is kind of unofficial, so I snuck one in on you.
Oh, great.
But that's that you can actually load Visual Studio actually from Azure and from the cloud and use that as your dev environment.
Okay.
So let's kind of go check that out.
And this is Visual Studio 2015, right?
This is Visual Studio 2015, yeah, thanks for asking. There's a number of different versions, but I wanted to show you the latest and greatest.
Absolutely.
And so as you're seeing, no smoke and mirrors at the top. We're actually loaded from a RDP connection into the cloud. How I did that, let's go to the browser. So here I'm loaded in the portal. You could use the existing portal, the new portal if you want, either way. And when you go and create a new virtual machine, and you look in the gallery, there's a whole host of new things. If I look in Visual Studio, we can all do this right now. This is the actual image I'm using. So it's that 2015 preview. Also, you just talked about the Community Edition.
Yep.
So you can go load that, which is really cool. So we kind of figured, hey, it's free to use. So if you have an Azure account, you should just be able to use it there as well.
Now, wasn't the Visual Studio VMs previously were an MSDN-only feature, right?
That's right. Well, there's a bit of a mix. So our belief is that anything pre-release is kind of freely available. So that's now in the public gallery.
Okay.
Also, the Community Edition makes sense to be in the public
gallery,
right? But as an MSDN subscriber, I'm not logged in with that account. You do get even more and kind of like more permutations, more images that you have. One good example would be Windows client images.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and now even Windows 10.
Right.
And you could do development against that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you get even more images there, but we thought everyone should have some.
Makes sense.
All right. So that's kind of the first feature. Now we'll do. We'll just kind of flip back and forth and look at this.
Sure.
So the next thing I want to show you are the sign-in improvements, and they're really all over the board. So let's take a look at those.
Okay.
So here we'll look in Visual Studio 2015. We're all used to this top right-hand corner sign-in, right? So this is kind of our user profile. It roams with us. It remembers our settings. Now when I sign in, if there's an Azure account that's associated with that, it'll actually go ahead and load me into my developer accounts for Azure.
Okay.
One or many, as many subscriptions as I have associated with this.
So there's no more signing in up there and then going and saying connect my subscriptions and stuff like that.
It's all connected together. Yep.
Perfect.
And You know, for those of us who've got a little bit more of a complicated situation, like, you know, maybe a home account that you use for your user, mm-hmm. maybe some business accounts, we've got you covered too. So if you click on the properties, you see all accounts, and you can just go ahead and add as many accounts as you want.
Great.
So here you're seeing my work account and my private.
Okay.
And they just work together.
So now you don't need to turn off one account or log out of one account, log into a different
exactly.
account. It's all there.
You're like, oh, single sign in, cool. Wait a minute. That's right. Kind of a challenge. And then we see that show up here. So if I go to either the Tools menu or in Server Explorer, I can right-click on the Azure node, I can manage, and I'm going to see all the interactive sign-in accounts I have for Azure. Oh, it wants me to log into this one. That's no problem. Just keeping it real. Okay, so we're going to load. There we go. So that's my personal MSDN account, that's my corporate subscription, mm-hmm. and then I can see all the subscriptions that are actually associated with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If there's any kind of overlap in, let's say, a resource that's in both subscriptions, you can disambiguate
okay.
which account the tool should actually use. And then one tip and trick I'll just share with folks that everyone should know. If you're like me and you've got a lot of resources, you can actually filter things down by the regions or data centers that you want to see, or by the subscriptions that you want to see in one view. So, and that affects all of Visual Studio. So it just filters things in and out.
Wow, that's really cool to see how specific you can get.
Exactly. So it's kind of like a cool thing from the portal that we brought into the tool.
Definitely.
And if you're still using certificates for whatever reason, let's say you want total control over who has access to what, you can go mm-hmm. ahead and use them.
Cool. Right.
So that's still there. All right, so that's all the new sign-in capabilities.
Awesome. Mm.
So let's take a peek at what else we got. So one new thing that we have, when you're getting up and running and kind of getting started, it's really helpful to have a dev test environment
yep.
just to immediately, you know, push your bits into. So what we did is we hooked the whole kind of app creation process in the file new flow. So now it's really easy to create that dev test environment in Azure.
Okay. Mm.
You can do this both for your websites or for your Azure VMs.
Cool.
So let's take a peek at that. So simply, let's just do a new project.
Mm-hmm.
While we're here, we can kind of peek around at what we have. So we're seeing, you know, if you worked with our PaaS cloud services, those yep. are here. We made sure that web applications show up here, because mm-hmm. those can go to websites, VMs, all kinds of places.
Definitely.
We mm-hmm. have web jobs, which are super slick, if you've checked out the ASP.NET news.
Yep.
So great for lightweight work that you want to do there. Mobile services. We have this new thing called cloud deployment projects, which help you think about an entire topology and all the artifacts that you want to push.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll show you that as actually one of my top 10 things.
Okay, great.
But we'll create a web application. So you know we want a cloud enabled by default. So I'm seeing app insights for monitoring mm-hmm. or usage analytics I could turn on.
And that works whether or not you're going into Azure or not for your web project.
That's right. Yeah, it works on-prem, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And another thing that we can do, actually, just for the sake of later, I'm not going to set up authentication now, and that's kind of realistic. Sometimes you wait
right.
on those decisions until
right.
later when you want to think about the ops of your app. So
makes sense.
We'll turn that off. But the thing I want to focus on is this host in the cloud, right? And so we have the ability to pick a website or a virtual machine.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual machine, I'll show you. It's kind of cool, but we won't finish it because it'll take us a while, and I'll just
sure.
show you the websites. So you can pick the subscription. Let's use this one. And you can see it's dynamically pulling all of the images I have in my own storage, but also in Azure's kind of global storage.
Very cool.
And you can see all the just different options we have. You know, if we want to develop against SQL Server, if we want to take a stock Windows Server, we kind of have all those different options. So I would check that out. Then you set up your username and password, the data center. You could set a subnet if you want to put this in a particular VNet to
mm-hmm.
have like a secure communication mm-hmm. between your dev environment, your test environment, in your corporate network. So that's pretty cool.
It's all the decisions that someone has to go through when they're creating a VM, right? It's more decisions than for a website, actually, but that's part
exactly,
of it.
Yeah. At least now it's more turnkey. You don't
yeah.
have to think about all of it. So that created one that would go to a VM.
Right.
Let's go against the website now. So we'll close this up. We'll create a new project. Follow the same process, ASP.NET. We'll change the auth again. And this time when we host in the cloud, we'll put in a website.
Right.
Okay, and mm-hmm. we're going to provision this right now on the internet, so we'll pick this default option. Of course,
mm-hmm.
I'd pick a better name. I'm going to go ahead and put it in my subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll pick a data center near us, pick West US. We'll hit OK. Okay, so what this is going to do right now, this is going to provision the actual website container in the cloud. And we also have been working on having a better config as code mindset. So we're actually generating in the tool a set of configuration files for the lifecycle you'll go through. So like dev, you also have the placeholder where you could put test, staging, pre-prod, that kind of thing. And a battle-hardened script that's in PowerShell so that you could redeploy this at any time completely from the command line or from script. Or you could wire this file actually into your CI flow, right? So you could use Visual Studio Online with TFS. You could use your favorite tool,
right?
And so we just, you know, we know that people are doing CI. We want to give you that starting point with a really good script. And we want to make sure that everything that is configurable is formally pulled out into this kind of dev config file, which happens to be JSON. So now, you know, the pattern you're seeing is you'll have your, basically your deployment project, and I'll talk about a more formal one, and you have your project itself, which you can deploy. Then the cool thing is everything's wired up, so that when you publish, automatically we'll see that publish profile, and it's already pre-wired to deploy. So we'll actually let you drive things off of that. Another cool thing that the ASP.NET team did is they made sure that everything is built on top of script and command line first. So this is actually running on a customizable piece of script that you can customize and change actually what the UI is doing.
Very cool.
Super awesome. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's app build a little bit more. One thing that's common to do, and I think this will tee me up for my next cool one. So we did dev test. We spoke to web jobs quickly. We're going to show connected services updates. So what you can do now is you can add a connected service. We'll go add connected services. You might have seen the service manager that we had in previous versions. This is kind of like that on steroids, a little bit prettier, a little bit nicer looking. So we have these kind of different providers. So for Microsoft, we started with three, mobile services, storage, and Office 365. And we also worked with partners like Salesforce to make sure that you could connect to their services as well. Because we know people are mixing a number of different services together.
I imagine as time goes on, we're going to see a lot more stuff show up.
We'd like to see that.
Very cool.
All right, so let's pick storage, one that we all know and love. Now, what the dialog will do is it'll use these connected accounts that we set up before. It's going to look into my subscriptions and show me all of my accounts. And this saves us a trip to the portal, right? So we can just pick one that we'd like to use, see where it is, click add. Now what this will do, it'll not only pull down the NuGet package that I can program against, it's basically going to suck that configuration out of the portal API and again put it into one of those config files so that it can travel with the lifecycle and you can change it at every phase. So it set you up for that better practice of moving through the ALM workflow. So we think that'll be really handy. It'll also gonna give you that first transactional line of code that you can just immediately write instead of figuring out all the stuff.
Very nice.
So that saves up. Typically, adding a web service is not just go there, right-click at the web service, right? You need configurations on the server side, you need configurations on the client side, you need NuGet packages, so this thing wraps all that up for you, asks the right questions, and builds everything, right? It saves a lot of time.
And it also prevents that anti-practice of, like, you've kind of hard-coded maybe a connection string in, and then you go to put it in test or production, you realize, oops, I've got to go kind of undo that. Another thing we thought we'd do to set you off on the right foot is we just give you a getting started article and with easy drop-in code snippets. So you can just say, oh, hey, here's how I initialize a storage account, and here's the kind of key that I want to pull from a config file, and here's the way that I would initialize all the blob and queue and table containers. So we just want this to be completely kind of drop-in easy.
Very cool.
So we went ahead and did that.
And of course, you're showing Azure Storage, but that applies to virtually anything, even third-party components can be added to that model, right?
That's right. So we just want it to be incredibly easy to use services.
Cool.
Right. Now, another thing, we'll use that same infrastructure, but kind of going to the slide so we have a, remember where we are. So now I'm going to show you the enterprise single sign-in using AD. And we'll use that similar kind of trick, but now I have a frontline command, and this is why I turned it off before. We can configure AD now, and that's kind of more typical, right, where you configure something like authentication later down in the workflow. So let's pick this. You know, similar kind of an experience. Here for dev test, now I'm thinking about what account do I want to use for dev test? And we all, having an Azure account, have a directory, right, in the cloud. So we can just pick the directory we want to use, and simply this will set up my application to use that directory. So let's go, We will go to the portal. I'm actually hoping you won't have to. In a future release, maybe we'll give you a drop down maybe instead of this text box.
Right.
But for now, we'll go here, we'll go to the portal, we'll go down to our directories. And I've already sent one up for the sake of time. Paul Yuke Enterprises, you know, feeling a little posturing about what could happen someday. So
it's like the future WAN Enterprises, right?
That's right.
Are you Batman?
Hey. We're supposed to ask me that. All right, so we'll go to the domains, and we'll pick this guy.
Okay.
Right. And we'll come back here. And another option that you're seeing here, let's say that you weren't an administrator in your tenant, but you were given credentials by an admin. You could go ahead and provide those as well. Mm-hmm. So we have kind of the ability of easily create and set me up or attach to something that I can't change.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But in both are really important scenarios. So we'll hit finish. Now I need to sign in. There's basically a challenge that'll happen, and
right.
I have to consent. Okay. So same kind of a trick where we're working with the APIs. We're kind of exploring what you have access to. Now in this case, we're actually going to take this application tier, and we're going to register it as an application in the directory, which is pretty cool. And I can, again, do that because it's a dev test scenario. There's other kind of smaller details. You have to have like reply URLs and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to download all of that and set up your project exactly the way that our best practice white paper would recommend.
Okay.
Right.
All right. And like we saw before, you know, it's nice to get that snippet of code that you can use. So right here, we're giving you the markup so that you can have a sign in and sign out control immediately in your web app.
Perfect.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, just to keep it easy, I should be able to just F5 this guy and see that we'll now challenge. Yep, so let's set up the SSL. That's okay in a dev box.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there we go. We're getting our enterprise challenge. And it'll even go to my ADFS federated account.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all kind of working together.
What's great is authentication usually is one of the top asked questions like, how do I figure this whole wiring up of, right?
Right.
And you did what, like a few clicks?
If we had like a Visual Studio achievement set, this would probably be like one of the ones you get later after playing for months, right? So again, we'll consent. And yeah, totally like you said, it takes a pretty long white paper.
It can be very complex, right?
And now we set it up. And I'm also happy that you have the flexibility to do a number of different things, like attach to an existing set of things or set it up yourself. So
I think
you'll have that flexibility too. All right, so that was enterprise sign-in.
Super cool.
So those were kind of things that we can do in Visual Studio 2015 natively.
Right.
Now I'll show you a set of things that you can do in the SDK 2.5 that also work across a range of versions, so 2012, 2013, 2015. And we basically always support about two versions of shipped Visual Studio, and we try to ship with the pre-release version of the new Visual Studio. So that's kind of the principle we have in mind. So let's start out with diagnostics. So as cloud developers, we all know there's a number of things we have to deal with, a number of troubleshooting challenges. We want to make your life better and better when it comes to that. So let's take a look at this application. Have you guys ever checked out kind of the guestbook sample we have up on GitHub?
I don't think I've seen it.
No.
It's a message-based application,
kind
of with a queue pattern. So I have a web front end. I have some business logic in the back end, and basically, let's actually go ahead and run it. And but we'll submit, you know, kind of through a simple UI. We'll submit an entry to the guestbook.
Yep.
All right. And we'll probably have an out-of-body experience here. So let's do like this one, let's do like this one. There we go, we'll sign the guestbook. All right, and sometime later, the worker role is working in the back, taking that image, compressing it, making sure it's right for all the different devices and posting it. So just a simplistic view of what a multi-tier, multi-layered app would look like, right? But you know, what does it look like to diagnose this? So we kind of think about an inner loop and an outer loop of development. So when you're developing the application, constructing it, you're going to continuously push it to the cloud and just get your own code working. Now, you know, one thing that happens is you've got things working on your own machine. Hey, it works on my box. And then you push it to the cloud, and something's a little different.
Right.
And something breaks down. So we're going to help you with that class of errors, but also even think about some tracing that'll help you set you up for production and live side issues.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's look at the experiences we have. So if we look at the live view, I can go into Server Explorer. I can drill into my cloud services. We're going to show you all the VMs, cloud services, and things like that live in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
We'll isolate the node that has an issue, let's say after dev test deployment. So here I have this guest book. Here's the one that's actually deployed. I have my worker role. Just if you're wondering what's happening, I have a worker role that's deployed as a cloud service, and I have a web front end that's deployed as an Azure website.
Okay.
So I'm actually using the two different containers.
Right.
And people, our customers do that all the time, right? And so what I can do now, we have a whole host of new things. So the first thing is we do enable diagnostics by default with like an errors only collection plan.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hadn't done it, you'd see right here, enable diagnostics, and you could do it on the fly dynamically, and we'll basically push an agent in server side and start collecting. So no more redeploy.
Okay,
that's a cool thing.
Definitely.
Another thing is you can look at your diagnostic settings. So I just said update settings. You can see I put in my own custom plan. By default, you'd see errors only, but you could kind of move that dial. You can move it to all. If you're experiencing a problem, you want to open up that trace, or you can totally customize it. And we have a number of different sources like app logs, Windows logs, counters, infra, and so.
So you can try and pare down or pare up what you're getting, especially if you could be drinking from the fire hose here, so it helps to be able to.
Totally right, yeah, which affects, you know, you get bogged down with actually too much data, and then you need some kind of analytics engine to narrow it down. So you might start small, and then you might ratchet it up as you need to.
Great.
One thing that I'll show for Cloud Cover is this new thing we have called ETW, or you might have heard us talk about semantic logging in patterns and practices. So the basic idea is that we have these event sources, or we have these classes that define more logical events of sequences or things or phases that are happening in your application. And then instead of just having log entries that are like all strings and all text that you have to go grovel through later, we can actually put metadata on top of these events with the actual properties and the property values. So it's much easier to search and index by those fields.
That's really great.
Right. So take a look at this business logic. We'll open this up. And the logging. So we have this Contoso guestbook event source. Let's zoom it in a little bit. So I can see examples of these logical events. Hey, right now I'm going to start processing the blob. Right now my worker role is starting. Right now I'm actually doing the image processing. Okay, the image processing is done, and now I've generated the thumbnail. So these are kind of logical events in the workflow that I want to see happen to know that my work, my service is working properly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now I can correlate that back to my trace statements and say, hey, this is exactly where you are in the phase.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have multi components or multi layers to my app, I can emit the same event and event ID so that even across multiple instances in multiple services, I get the same event ID that I can correlate against.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you can start to see how you can stitch together in real time, hey, what the heck happened in my service?
Definitely.
Right.
So sometimes hard to do.
A lot of times hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's go check it out. So we can view the diagnostics data. And what we're going to do is load up a summary. Let's get rid of some windows so you can see it a little better. And we're going to show you a summary of all the different error level things that happened in your service, right? You know, we'll focus here on ETW, also all the other sources that we talked about you'd see here, right? And I can see now, instead of just a line of string, I can see these, you know, nicely formatted properties. I can see the event that happened. I can see as the message, here's the parameter that was passed in. So maybe right away I'm getting an idea, ooh, this is where something happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of this is saved by default into table storage, right? So I can say view all data. We're now showing you our table storage viewer where you get just a lot more information.
Right.
You get the timestamp, which would be good to filter by. I can see in more detail things like what was the task name that was happening and what was the message and what was the parameter that was passed in.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're a NoData aficionado, you can type in a NoData query. We also give you a query builder where you can do, you know, kind of more specific, hey, let me narrow down to this point in time or this event ID and see what was going on. Also, if you have other table tools that you like mm-hmm. or have built, you can use those here.
Cool.
So because you have a correlation IDs and now you can track down events. Like imagine if it was an online game, right?
Yep.
And sometimes you get a specific error. Now I could feed this into a machine learning, for example, and
totally.
Start figuring out, oh, you know what? I think there is a server that's down and that's what. So you can start figuring all these things. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what a lot of people do. They kind of say, oh, there's sort of a pattern that I know to look for.
Right.
And then, you know, I can look for that pattern across the big data.
For security, that's great as well, right?
Definitely. Totally. So I think it'll be useful. So, you know, just to kind of summarize, we give you errors by default. You can tweak what else you get beyond errors. And then the semantic logging will really help
definitely
kind of correlate across things.
The other thing I really like about what you showed is a typical scenario. You have a website running, and there is one error that only happens with one user only on Tuesday evenings. And God
right.
knows.
And then you're asleep, like, probably.
Error, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you can just go there and enable, like, oh, I forgot to enable the error logging. So you can go there and enable it. We don't have to redeploy anything, get the data, then disable it again, right? So you can have
exactly.
full control over there.
Very dynamic. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you can't afford to tear things down, so
yeah.
this just kind of works more with you.
Great.
Cool. All right, so let's look at some other stuff. So we spent a bunch of time on diagnostics. I don't think we missed anything. Oh, actually, that reminds me. The diagnostics story that I showed you actually works with all of our containers, so cloud services, IaaS, and websites.
Great.
Okay.
One thing I didn't show, but I'll lump it in there, we have a remote debugger, which is really sweet. So you can attach the actual debugger, and if you don't know what's going on, you'll get more info.
Mm-hmm.
We recommend it for dev test, obviously, because
yeah.
you're attaching a real debugger
yep.
to that instance.
I've used that a couple times. It's been a lifesaver.
Yeah, totally cool. All right, so, okay, well, we just spoke to that. So let's actually do a drill down into Azure Resource Manager. So let's go back. We'll create a new project. All right, so we showed before that you could create, let's say, a simple web application. We'll give you the deployment scripts. Well, what about when you're working with more resources in a more formal topology and
mm-hmm.
you want to take more control of that? So we created this deployment project, and it will store all of your deployment artifacts. And it's meant to work well with a new technology in Azure called Azure Resource Manager.
Right.
But also with our Visual Studio Online test and lab service
mm-hmm.
in the release manager. So it kind of helps you with all these ALM flows. So we'll create a deployment project. For starters, we give you a few kind of curated sites or a few curated templates. So there's like a website plus SQL. You can have the Redis cache. And you can imagine just dynamically we'll add more things to the gallery
sure.
and give you more options. You know, so compute and storage, networking are things that we want to add over
right.
time. Let's pick a website just for the sake of the demo. All right. And the wizard knows, hey, now might be a good time to actually create an application that goes with that resource online. So we'll create
mm-hmm.
the MVC app. And once that's going, you're going to see a very similar pattern to what I showed you before. We're going to create that deployment project.
Mm-hmm.
And then your application project sit alongside it. And everything will kind of sit in source code control, if you
right.
want it there, and version, and give you history. All right, so here's my web app. And then here's my deployment project. And we're seeing a few things. So there's actual JSON templates now that describe the topology and the resources used. So here I have a web resource. I have an analytics resource. If I had a SQL database, I would see that.
Mm-hmm.
If I have multiple websites, I could see that. And eventually, again, you'll see storage and you'll see other things show up here. As a developer, the first thing I would focus on is just this parameters file, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are the most commonly overridden things like the name, the hosting plan, the location, right? So you shouldn't have to change a template or become a template author just to change those values.
Right.
And again, we set you up with that lifecycle kind of pattern where I could add more of these parameter files,
right.
one for each environment. And then in the JSON, you know, there will definitely be times when the starting point we give you won't match the environment you want, so you're going to need to do some authoring,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So we give you actually a JSON experience that has IntelliSense and that's actually taking schema live online from the internet. So you can, you know, we'll keep updating schemas. We'll offer new schemas. So they'll be versioning. Don't worry. And I saw you worrying.
I was worrying.
Yeah, we can see the URI, right? The schema version there,
exactly.
so preview. So that's it will
totally.
Evolve, right?
And as we add new resource providers, yeah. we can show those as well. So let's go look for something cool like a location, right? So here we drive the location from a parameter, but let's just say we know what we want. We can get in some IntelliSense now. And this is actually looking live at the data centers I can use, and it's pulling that in.
Interesting.
Very cool.
And it also knows which locations are allowed for this resource provider. So that gives you an example of something we can do. And we give you both IntelliSense and Invalidation. And it's not just syntactic. It's actually looking at the resource providers.
Awesome.
So that's something we're pretty excited about. Other things I'll point out, you know, this is really about deployment. So we have a couple options for you there. You can right-click and say deploy, and we give you a nice UI. Mm-hmm. So I can deploy directly as a resource group in Azure. And again, that's like it's a set of resources that are associated, and
right.
they can have the same tagging, mm-hmm. the same billing. Also, if I use Visual Studio Online, I get an enhanced version that has things like better sharing and better control.
Okay.
Right, so if I want an even better version of that, we'll pick resource group. And, you know, kind of like we showed before, you have a set of properties. And we can pick existing resource groups, or we can create a new one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Create a new one. And we'll pick a data center. And we ask you for a storage account. Just the reason why is we'll deploy all of the artifacts for this into a storage account, and then this resource group can pull from that storage account dynamically
okay.
as it's reprovisioning your environment.
Makes sense.
Right, so it's just kind of a means to an end for deployment. And in the experience, we'll actually ask you for the parameters that are missing, right, so we can name the website.
Oh, so it knows which parameters are kind of required, right? And,
exactly.
And if the developer forgets about them, we won't make you waste time and deploy things and they're, oh yeah, I didn't provide a name.
Exactly.
Nice.
I'm trying to remember what the location was. Let's do, right. And then you can also twiddle all of the other parameters as you go.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then we'll just go ahead and start the process of pushing it.
Very
and you'll
cool.
get activity down here. The other thing, you know, we talked about CI processes before.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll actually give you the PowerShell script that basically, it's very simple. But it just takes this resource group template and the right parameter file and pushes that.
Okay.
So it's a mirror image to the UI we showed just in PowerShell. And now you can push this into any CI process that you have.
Very cool.
Right.
So pretty powerful. And I think, you know, as things come online, you're going to see us offer new schemas, and we'll just make it richer without even having to change the bits.
Very awesome.
Cool, right?
Awesome.
So let's go back. Okay, so we talked about Resource Manager. This one, these two are just kind of fun little delighter things. So if you've used our storage tooling, you notice it's come a long ways, probably in the last 2 years.
Sure.
And I want to show you just a few updates that we did. So let's look back. Here's the actual storage account that we've been deploying to. And I can see my tables, blobs, and queues.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look in here. One thing that we're seeing is that we just get hierarchies now. So we've always had the ability in the platform to have kind of a hierarchical view of our files.
Right.
And now we can navigate into that. You can multi-select, upload, download.
Does it support also creating those hierarchies?
It does support creating
awesome.
Those hierarchies. So when you upload, you have the option to pick the folder, which can be a new one, and you can create that as you go.
Very cool.
So that'll be really handy, you know, and again, it's full kind of read-write access for all of this, and you can search and do a number of things.
That's great. Yeah, nice. It wasn't too long ago. I think I saw a path to a blob, and it's like, what is this, like a folder structure? I had no yeah. idea it was even possible, but
yeah,
now
definitely.
It's, now it's really easy.
You'd been able to see them, but they were kind of locked out from the tooling,
right.
so now
yeah.
it's all there. So one other thing I mentioned, HD Insight in the slide, so we'll just do this quickly. Let's make sure I have the right subscription loaded in. And it's going to ask me again. So if you use a Microsoft account, about every 8 hours or so, the certificate can expire. The token.
Uh-huh.
So
security is important.
Security is important. You know, it's about once a day. Here's basically a cluster that we provision for the sake of today.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you familiar with HD Insight, it's kind of our big data service, and we have good features for Hive, like Hive databases and Hive queries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as you're working with them, now we give you a visualization over those Hive databases right inside of Server Explorer. And you know, this is kind of a home base for setting up a number of Hive queries and Hive batch jobs and Hive commands.
Right.
So let's expand this default database. we're going to see in here is the table. It's kind of loosely structured schema, but you can see the schema that has been defined. So mm-hmm. here's the Hive sample table. And we'll expand that a bit.
Did we have tooling here to see the HDN stuff before, or is this
no,
all
this is brand new.
Brand new. Okay,
you
awesome.
To go somewhere else.
So we had a preview, and there's kind of portal tooling and command line.
Very
this
cool.
is new inside the tool.
That's exciting.
There's a lot of data, so I guess it's got a lot of work to do. So, so here we're looking at the actual table schema, which is useful to kind of think about, hey, what kind of queries and what's available. Mm-hmm. So you could kind of imagine, hey, I want to make a query that that does a count across all countries, and I might have billions and billions and billions of records, right? Mm-hmm. And then after I do that kind of count, I want to sort by the country. So that's, you know, not something you would just do in a basic analyzer tool. You need a service like this and a set of tooling. So what we could do is come back up here. I could write a Hive query.
Okay.
And this gives us kind of a free-form experience where I can, you know, type in my query.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do the count, and then I can submit that as a job, which I would do here.
So it feels a lot like the old SQL experience where you just write your queries and test.
Kinda
the difference
like SQL
is now
analyzer.
You're submitting a job that's going to run across several nodes and yeah.
Exactly. Now I just submitted a botched job, but but it's okay. You're just keeping it real again. But so we get a summary as we do that,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
you can look at the interstitial output. There we go. But so we'll show you the kind of those optimized jobs that are pushed up, and then you can actually see the data as a result.
Very cool.
So
that's very exciting stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. So
cool.
I think that hit the top 10.
All right. Well, that's
items.
Cool. The top 10 SDK 2.5 stuff. So now, where can people go for any more information? More
yeah, good point.
Stuff?
So let's look at. I put together a couple resources for you. So if you want the Visual Studio tools and kind of you want to explore the features, visualstudio.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can always get the SDK from azure.com downloads,
yep.
right? And there's like a web platform installer feed,
mm-hmm.
which is probably the easiest way to get it. Also, if you have an Azure subscription, we showed you just go create a VM.
Yep.
You have a few different options there.
Right.
And then if you're not totally tired of us at this point, we have a few videos where we talk about some other things and get interviewed. So
great. And we'll make sure all these links are underneath the video as well.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Paul. Do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to, you know, reach out to you?
I don't have
you?
A Twitter handle.
Oh,
I need to get with the program.
Is it because you'd use your last name and just no one
He's
would
not
be able
in
to figure
the 21st
out?
I'm unique
yet,
on the internet, so people just know to email me.
Oh, there you go. Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, for those of you that are on Twitter, you can follow us at Cloud Cover Show. Paul, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Matt,
thank you.
Thanks for joining me. Everybody out there, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.